lip service is the story of Helena Rubinstein, who most people don't realise was an Australian citizen. She became the world's first self-made business tycoon, and it's the story of her rivalry with Elizabeth Arden, another cosmetics giant, and her relationship with her personal assistant, who was a former Irish commando. And it's a comedy.
It's very interesting, John. I mean, you're a very well-known playwright. You've got credits with the Country Practice, Waterloo Station, The Young Doctors, and such a long list. I mean, the Shoehorn Sonata that yes. is part of the HSC. And I've seen the play many years ago, and I still remember it. If I still remember it, it means that it was something really extraordinary about Second World War. It was very novel, very original idea, that the Shoehorn Sonata. Now, for Australian playwright, what was your interest in this Jewish migrant from Poland that came the turn of the century to Melbourne?
I always enjoy bringing Australian stories to Australian audiences. When I just began my research, I couldn't believe Helena Rubinstein's achievements and the fact that she really was Australia's equivalent to Bill Gates. She revolutionised advertising and industry, and she was instrumental in bringing women all over the world into the workforce, and she was an Australian.
She was the eldest of eight daughters born to Polish Jews. They sent the girl to the uncle, and the uncle was just outside Melbourne.
Coleraine, northwestern, I think it is, Victoria.
That's a very interesting story about her relationship with her uncle. They had the falling out, and she moved to Melbourne, and she managed to establish herself by herself. Young woman from a Polish background, it's quite extraordinary.
There were actually 15 children. 7 of them died. They were the boys. The father wanted boys, and ended up with 8 girls, and he was really quite bitter about it. The family exiled her because she wasn't a conformist. And so she ended up stranded with these two uncles who gave her a very hard time and used her as slave labour. She realised if she couldn't manufacture something to make money, she would die. She noticed that all the women in Coleraine had terrible skin, leathery skin from the sun. Those days, women were forbidden to wear makeup or powder, anything. The only thing they could do was have moisturisers. And so she reproduced her mother's moisturiser and sold it to women and to earn enough money just to survive. She came out here in 1907. She started selling it. By 5 years later, she was the richest woman in Australia, and within 15 years, she was one of the richest women in the world.
It's quite amazing.
Well, what is amazing is that she was Jewish. For a woman to enter business in those days, it was unheard of. For a Jewish woman to overcome the spectacular anti-Semitism, especially in England and America, was jaw-dropping.
That she moved from Australia, from Melbourne, she expanded and she moved to London and then she moved to the US.
That's right. She 100 years ago, it's 100 years since she conquered the US. Now, she always, not only did she keep her citizenship in Australia when she married, but she came back constantly and she had her relatives in Australia running her businesses here. So Australia was always the place she went to when life got tough. She loved it here, and the Australians loved her. In America, such was the anti-Semitism that there were certain states that would not sell her products.
Really?
Oh, yes, yes. She just didn't bother for many years. Elizabeth Arden had those states, and she would concentrate on the others. She also, which people probably don't realise, she invented the fear factor in advertising. The way modern advertising is now, the things you saw on Mad Men, they were all came from Helena Rubinstein. Her first husband was a very brilliant Polish Jewish lawyer, and he would do all her copywriting. He introduced the fear factor the first time ever into advertisements. Can I just read you out one ad?
Yes, very interesting.
This is from The Age, I think in about 1910, The Age in Melbourne. No matter how intelligent or vivacious you are, if your skin is coarse or unpleasant, your husband will probably leave you. Wouldn't that boost your morale?
Absolutely. And I believe she also invented the lipstick.
Well, yes. Two things are interesting here. Firstly, the suffragette movement. All the suffragettes were told to wear lipstick as an act of defiance. It was our equivalent of marching topless because only prostitutes wore lipstick. But lipstick was then called lip balm and it came in round compacts. Rubinstein got the idea after the First World War of buying up empty bullets and filling them with lip balm because they were easier to fit in pockets. And that's why today's lipsticks are shaped like bullets.
That's amazing.
Oh, look, she was the first person to divide skin into three categories, dry, normal and oily, because that way she decided every woman could have a problem. And she'd sell three times the products. The other thing she realised, two things that were very significant. The first was that women actually enjoyed the feel of the makeup. She was the first person to make face creams smell nice and to colour them. Because in those days, women had to make their own moisturisers and they got the recipes from cookbooks or they just handed them down to each other. And she came along with a beautiful, smooth, clear moisturiser and she added lanolin to it. Coleraine was in the middle of sheep country and sheep give off suent, which is lanolin, which is a softener. Rubinstein decided if she could put the lanolin into the face cream, it would have a revolutionary feel. You've got to remember, this was a woman who left school at 14.
We are talking to Joan Mistow, and you're listening to SBS Radio broadcasting around Australia with Nitza Lowenstein. Joan, we are talking about your latest play, Lip Service at the Ensemble Theatre, about the life of Helena Rubinstein. And I think it's quite incredible how you managed to bring her back to life.
I was able to do it because I liked her so much. Charming woman. She was quite eccentric, quite horrible, but horrible because she had been wounded. And that's what I think people didn't understand about her, that she'd come to Australia bright and bubbly and full of hope. After 3 years with these horrendous uncles, she emerged a completely different person, really traumatised and fearful. And she never lost that. And in the play and in real life, in the last 15 years of her life, she hired an assistant who had been an Irish commando, who was a very handsome man. He had been wounded very badly in the war. He enjoyed her company. She paid him appalling wages and she loaned him money so she could keep him in debt so he'd never leave her. And he said he stayed with her because life with her was an adrenaline rush.
It brought to life back Helena Rubinstein. When I was a child, I grew up in Israel and her products sold in every shop, every chemist, every store.
Oh, yes, yes. She established a factory in Israel. She met Golda Meir. Golda Meir told her that the more money she donated to an art museum in Israel, the larger her factory could be. She was appalled that Golda Meir wore no makeup.
Joan Mistow, we're wishing you good luck with the play Lip Service, and thank you so much.